Fight Week. We had the champ Daniel Cormier on the program in hour number one. And as mentioned, we are joined right now in studio by the UFC president, friend of the program. You've got UFC 241 coming up. It's Saturday night live from Anaheim. UFC 241, Cormier, Miocic 2. The early prelims start at 6:30 p.m. on Fight Pass, followed by the prelims on ESPN. Then the main card is on ESPN Plus. Dana White joins me in studio. Dana, we have done so many of these things over the phone. You and I have done shows in New York. We've done things everywhere. I think this is officially the first time you've been in my house, though.
It's the first time that I've been to the new studio. I went to your old studio before, but this is the first time. Not bad, buddy. Not bad at all.
A clean up all right, huh? Not too bad, right? All right, so before we get to the card on Saturday night, bring me up to date. It's a monster card. How you feeling? How you doing? How's life? What's up?
Everything's good, and I'm excited for this card. You know, if you look at this card, it's one of the biggest ones of the year. And, I mean, the main event, Cormier and Miocic, awesome. The return of Nate Diaz, who has already been interesting this week, versus Anthony Pettis, ridiculous fight. And Yoel Romero versus Paulo Costa is a fight that I've been waiting for a very long time. This was supposed to be a main event on one of our other cards, and it fell through, so it ends up here. And the card is stacked with up-and-coming talent, undefeated kids that I think are possibly the future of the sport.
Dana White joins me in studio. Dan, I got to start with Nate. I love this. I mean, You've got the main event, which we'll get to, but as evidence of how good this card is, you've got Anthony Pettis and Nate Diaz facing off. Before we talk about the open workouts, as you point out, things got interesting. It is Nate's first fight since his loss to Conor at UFC 202. What's it like to have Nate back?
Yeah, it's always good to have him back. You know, I say it all the time about the Diaz brothers. The Diaz brothers show up and they fight. You know, people love them. They're huge fan favorites. And this is a real fight with him and Pettis. And him and Pettis haven't liked each other for a very long time. These guys had beef, and that makes it fun.
All right, so what makes it interesting about Nate? At the open workout yesterday, Nate starts to smoke. Now, apparently that's a CBD joint, which will be fine. But what was your reaction when you saw Nate and then when he passed it to the fans?
I don't know what to say. I didn't expect to ever see that, you know, in the sport or any sport. But, you know, you can always expect the unexpected with the Diaz brothers.
What about Nate, though? It's been a minute or two since you and I have talked about this. I know maybe you're being a little bit careful about this, Dana, but what's it like to deal with Nate personally? What's it like to do business with Nate?
Yeah, so dealing with Nate personally is great. You know, Nate, you know, I say this all the time about, you know, Nate is like this guy. What people love about him is like he's saying F you to the man all the time, right? But he never really says F you to the man. He never really does. When you meet Nate, Nate's a great guy. I've always had a great relationship with the kid. Business-wise, he's an absolute nightmare.
How so?
I saw an interview with him that he did with ESPN the other day where he's saying he's never turned down a fight. Let me just explain something to you and the fans. By contract, I owe every fighter on my roster three fights a year. If I do not, you know, get them a fight, three fights in a one-year period, I owe them. I have to pay them. I've never paid them. I've never paid Nate Diaz to not fight.
To not fight.
So it's never happened. So let's just, there's the facts, right? So when he says he doesn't turn down fights, of course you turn down fights. Or I'd be paying you a ton of money every year to not fight.
All right, then. He hasn't fought in 3 years. And
exactly.
He's coming back. There's that. And he's going to fight Pettis. That's a pretty big ask. You and I have talked in the past about how you never know how somebody's going to show up after a long layoff. Right. How do you think he looks after 3 years?
But that's what I respect so much about him. You know what I mean? Nate Diaz isn't. And all the time, and he'll tell you too, when he's talking in that interview, you know, I never turned down a fight, but they want me to fight this guy. They want to fight that guy. But he's going to come back after a three-year layoff and fight this guy, you know, Anthony Pettis, former world champion, who has never looked better than he has in his last couple of fights. And that's what you got to respect and what you got to love about Nate Diaz.
Dana White joining me in studio. Dana, what about Pettis? Now, Pettis even admitted himself that he'd become complacent, but watching the Embedded series, he seems like he's in a good spot. He seems like his energy is good. How do you see the fight going overall?
Yeah, I thought it was really crazy how this guy was the absolute best in the world and then just overnight, you know, started to fall off. So I started to think, in all of sports, You just hit that day when you get old and you don't have it. You don't look or play the way you used to play or whatever it might be. And I thought that might be the case with Anthony. And then he just turned it all around. He's never looked better. You know, and this is a big fight for him, you know? Big fight for him, and it's obviously a big fight for Diaz.
A big fight overall. So what's that fight mean for the future, especially as it relates to Connor?
Yeah. Connor is, obviously, Saturday, we'll see what happens. Then September plays out with Khabib versus Poirier, which is a big fight that, you know, everybody's going to be looking at to see how that fight turns out, to possibly see what's next for Connor. Because that's what Connor's doing. He's sitting back and waiting to see how this stuff plays out and how does he fit in. Does he come back and fight Diaz again? Does he come back and take the fight? Because he wants the fight right now with Khabib. That's what he wants.
Oh, I know he wants to fight right now, Dana. Apparently he's been fighting without your knowledge. You see that video TMZ had?
Well, that happened in April.
Right.
And I knew that happened. They just got the video. Yeah, It's pretty bad.
All right, so what's your reaction to that? For those who missed this, there's a video of Connor allegedly punching an elderly man.
Not allegedly. it's pretty clear.
And by the way, you're right. I take that back. Yeah. There's nothing alleged about that. He caught him with a left. Yeah. He caught him with a left hand. We know what kind of damage he does with that left hand. What was your reaction when you saw the video?
So apparently this was in a pub in Ireland, and it was an argument over whiskey. You know, Connor has a whiskey now, and it was an argument over the whiskey, and Connor reaches out and hits him with a left hook. And yeah, I don't know the context of it. I don't know the entire story, but yeah, he punches a guy, an older man, in the face.
You can see the video right now, courtesy of TMZ. We're running that right now on the program. I mean, Dana, look, you've in the past talked about Connor, how good he has been for business, how much respect you have for him, what he's done for the company, where he came from. This is not the first time this guy's had something like this outside the cage. Could you ever see a scenario where it's just not worth the hassle and you have to move on from him?
When you deal with fighters, you know, guys who fight for a living, there's always something. There, you know, if you look at some of the greatest, Tyson. I mean, if you look at what Tyson went through at his peak, every time you take a guy who is a professional fighter and you sprinkle a ton of money on top of it, get ready. Get ready for a disaster. Literally a disaster.
Well, that was a disaster. That's not the only one. So, like, have you spoken to him recently? What'd you tell him?
Connor?
Yeah.
I haven't talked to Connor in a couple weeks. We haven't talked in a couple weeks.
What did you tell him?
When?
When you last spoke to him. Or when you talked to him about that video.
I didn't talk to him about the video. That video just came out like at 1 in the morning this morning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So we haven't talked about that. But you knew about it, though, because it's back from April.
Yeah, I knew it happened. I didn't know. You know, I knew that he had a, you know, an altercation in a bar. But I didn't know with who or any of that stuff. I didn't know anything. I just knew it happened. And these are things. I mean, you know what, Jim? You get to the point where you look at a guy like Connor and you look at the bus incident in New York, right? And all the other, the camera, the phone, the guy took the picture of him in Miami and he slaps the phone. What's the number? What's it going to cost Connor McGregor before he decides, all right, this isn't worth it. Enough is enough. I need to stop doing this. You know, the incident in New York cost him millions. Millions he had to pay out. You know, he had to pay the guy with the phone. What's he going to pay this guy that he hit in the bar? You know, and the list just goes on and on. And I just don't know when he wakes up and says, I've got to stop doing this.
I was going to say, bottom line for me, before we talk about the main event, how does this end for Conor McGregor?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've all seen this story before. This isn't new. We saw this movie. We read this book. Whatever the deal is, if you stay down that path, it definitely doesn't end well. But McGregor is a guy. What's crazy is Conor McGregor is a smart kid.
Yeah,
he's a very smart kid. He's financially set himself up. He's made some really good moves business wise, and he's made a lot of money. And he's going to, you know, he owns this whiskey company that's killing it, and he's going to continue to make a lot of money. I don't know when you hit that point. He's a father now. He's got a kid. At some point, you have to say, all right,
wake the hell up, man.
I need to stop punching people in the face illegally. You know, And just do it for money.
Yeah, I was going to say, and especially if they don't pay me to do it, and it costs me money every time I do it.
Exactly.
Dana White joining me in studio. Okay, what about Cormier? You and I have talked about Cormier in the past. He, when you think about what this guy's overcome, all the adversity, all the tragedy in his life to be where he is right now, what kind of thoughts do you have about DC?
This guy is, you know, when you talk about a world champion, I told Daniel Cormier a long time ago, if you are the world champion for the rest of my career, I'll be a very happy man. This guy is incredible. Such a competitor. Such a great representative of the sport. Such a role model as a champion. He works with kids, you know, underprivileged kids in wrestling. He has a charity that he does. When he commentates, he's one of the best commentators in the business. It just, he can do it all. And he's incredible. And I'm really excited about this fight with Stipe. You know, what's crazy is after the first fight, 2 days later, the president called me.
And
said, there's no way you saw that coming. You didn't see that coming. Nobody saw that coming.
Our president?
Our president of the United States called me and was blown away that Cormier knocked out Stipe.
Uh-huh.
Like, who saw that coming?
What did you tell him?
I said Daniel Cormier is one of the all-time greats, you know? Never lost at heavyweight. Moved down to light heavyweight because his best friend, Cain Velasquez, was a heavyweight, and he didn't want to mess with his division. Moved to light heavyweight, cleaned out that division. His only loss is to John Jones, whom I believe and many other believe is the greatest to ever do it.
Now, he said to me, Dana, to that point, he said to me, though, in hour number one, when I said, is it possible this is the last time your fans see you in the cage? He said, yes, that is possible. What do you think about that?
I, you know, so he and I, two things he wanted. He wanted the Brock Lesnar fight, and he wanted to fight John Jones again. This guy's got plenty of money, and now he's so good at commentating. He makes plenty of money there. He's doing all this other stuff where he can take care of his family. And he doesn't need to work anymore. But I said, listen to me. You got Brock, you got John Jones, and probably Stipe. You got three more in you. You're still good. You're still this. You're still that. So he agreed with me. The Brock Lesnar fight didn't happen. Uh-huh. Brock retired. Stipe, he never felt that he had to give Stipe a rematch. He's like, it's pretty clear who won that fight and who was the winner of the first fight. And look, here he is giving Stipe the rematch that he wanted. And you know, I people ask me, does the John Jones fight have to happen again? No, but everybody wants to see it again. I mean, you could do that fight two more times and people would want to see it. The two absolute best, not just in the division but of all time. Going at it is never boring. But I do believe that, unfortunately, if something doesn't line up after this fight with John Jones, this could be the last fight for Daniel Cormier.
If, in fact, it does line up and this night goes the way it should for DC or the way he wants it to, if it's up to you, do you see that fight? A Jones-Cormier fight, is that at 205 or is that at heavyweight?
I would love to see the fight at heavyweight. But those two are both so stubborn, and, you know, Jones says, nah. He beats me at 205 if he's going to be – he comes down here. And then Cormier doesn't want to beat him at heavyweight because it would take away from him not beating him at 205. So, listen, these two are both – Jones has earned his dues. Cormier has. I'm not arguing with these guys. If they want to fight and they want to fight at 205, then that's what I would do it at.
First things
first.
But
I would love to see it at heavyweight.
Right. Okay, fair enough. First things first, how do you see this fight going, the rematch Saturday night? What do you expect?
I think that Stipe didn't respect Cormier's power enough and didn't think that he thought he was going to try to get in there and wrestle him and didn't think that he could knock him out. You know, if you look at Stipe Miocic, he's been in there with all the biggest, baddest heavyweights, Francis Ngannou and all these guys. He didn't think Cormier could knock him out. Now he knows. So I think he's going to come in with a completely different game plan, and this is going to be a tougher fight. That's why I respect Cormier so much for taking this fight. First of all, he's already been talking about retiring. There were two fights that he wanted. Stipe wasn't one of them. How does he beat Stipe more impressively than he did the first time, right? So what's the upside for Daniel Cormier in this rematch with Stipe? That's why I respect this guy so much. You don't ever hear any complaining, no crying. I didn't want this fight. he just goes out and does what he does. He just, I dread the day he leaves. I dread it. I dread the day Daniel Cormier leaves. He's been so, he's still going to be my commentator and doing things with us. But as a fight fan and as a fan of Cormier, I dread the day.
Dana, like, nothing's easy, but it's easy with this guy, right? I mean, this is literally one of the best guys ever.
The best. Incredible. So incredible to deal with. Such a good human being and an amazing champion.
Well, then hopefully this is not his last night. UFC 241, Cormier, Miocic 2, and it's an amazing fight card. Saturday night, live from Anaheim. The early prelims start at 6:30 p.m. on Fight Pass, followed by the prelims on ESPN, the main card on ESPN+. It's a big one. Dana, great to see you here in SoCal. Great to have you in this house. You nailed it. Good job, Dana.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Good seeing you. Dana White doing what he does. All right, when we come back, hour number 3.